when we've taken in reports over the years, we've been in a position where we could vet them. We could go through and figure out which ones were credible and which ones weren't. But there was just so many to start with. Even when we vetted out the ones that we just, with our most suspicious and cynical sense about them, we were left with some where it was obvious these people saw something, and it wasn't their imagination, and they obviously weren't lying. And I came from a legal background. I've come from a family of lawyers and a law degree myself. And there's a simple principle. And I worked around law enforcement one time when I worked for the press in L.A. You knew that after a certain number of witnesses, it's obvious that there's something going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
And you don't find the same thing for. In other words, if people are all imagining this, if it was a completely imaginary thing, there'd be all kinds of things that people would say. They'd see leprechauns, they'd see unicorns, they'd report all, they'd claim and absolutely believe that they had seen all sorts of things, and they don't. There's only a few classes of things that people have seen for, say, hundreds of years. It has a long history. Ghosts and UFOs fall in that category, too. It has a history thousands of years old. Lots of people claim they've seen them, and they'll continue to see them. And I think those are the characteristics for phenomena that actually do exist, but they're too unpredictable. I mean, first of all, you can't put them in a jar, any of those things, and bring them into a lab. They're difficult to capture, they're difficult to predict, and they're real difficult to subdue. And Sasquatches are one of them. But, very, very pervasive. It's got a long history, and people are going to be seeing them for a long time into the future. But they're never going to subdue them very easily.
Do you think, Matt, that they are more physical than some people have theorized as dimensional creatures, beings?
Well, I have a little bit of a unique insight into that.
All right.
I can tell you this. They're physical, no doubt about that. But there's things that happen when these things are around that would lend you to, and there may be some unique capabilities in the animal kingdom, but I can understand why people would be led to believe that they might have some spiritual qualities. I mean, let's just say this. One, something's happened, fall into the realm of sensations, let's say, that you get when they are nearby. Sensations that are very noticeable.
Intuitive sensations, you mean?
I don't know if they're intuitive, but let's just say, some people call it infrasound. Some people, we don't know, they say maybe it's caused by some kind of a subtle odor. But people will have physical reactions. Sometimes when they've heard them, walking, et cetera, nearby, and people have seen them within, a short time before. And people will describe some very unique feelings. I mean, very intense, like a fear or kind of a skin crawling sensation. That are associated with these things, and we think it's these things, one way or another, causes these sensations, and it may be some kind of a defense mechanism. But it doesn't mean that necessarily that they're shapeshifters or they're spiritual beings. But if you didn't know any better, if you were, say, from a primitive society, and these things were around doing that, boy, you would think that they're pretty evil. It'd be easy to think that you were dealing with a spirit being.
In your professional opinion, what do you think these creatures are?
I think what I thought from the beginning, which was that Grover Krantz was right about what they are. I still think, and everything I've seen up until now leads me to believe that they are an extension of the wood ape line. He postulated that a long time ago, and I still think it's right on. If you look at the dispersion of sightings across the world, across the globe, they seem to radiate out of Asia. Not out of Africa, but out of Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And their size, and that would mean an Asian ape. Not an African one. Not Paranthropus, not a Robustus. It would probably be something more related to, say, a wood ape or the orangutan line, specifically. And that's what gigantos were. They're giant cousins to the orangutan. Also, the size. On any of the African apes, the humans, modern-day humans are the largest ones, in terms of height. Overall weight, mountain gorillas weigh more, but in terms of height, we're the biggest ones. These things are, the gigantos are the only thing that we have in the fossil record that got anywhere close to the size of these things. You know, they were 9-10 feet tall, and that's what people report, and that's how big we think the large males are.
I saw a picture of one gorilla that was shot by poachers, and it was on the cover of one of the news magazines. And sad story, but I got to tell you, the thing was huge. It had like 10 guys holding it up on two poles trying to carry this thing. Huge.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, but they have short legs. And that's the difference. They don't walk upright. They don't really cut the silhouette that Sasquatches have, which are similar to humans. But it's because here's the difference. They are bipedal animals, just like humans are. Gorillas are knuckle walkers.
True.
And I think a lot of the human similarity that people see in these things, especially from a distance, their design is really a consequence of them walking on two legs. And the body will grow into a certain proportion with arms and legs of a certain length just simply by virtue that it walks on two legs. And that body design is the only thing that will allow you to balance yourself if you have those kind of human, you could say human-like proportions. No, they're just biped proportions. And they're bipedal, so they look that way. And we are bipedal, so we look kind of the same way, too.
Matt, your partner and friend, Cliff Berrickman, is with us, too. He's been talking with us about his thermal imaging technology. So you two make up a pretty good pair, Cliff, don't you think?
You know what? I'm lucky to have run into Matt when I did. Absolutely. I couldn't be doing it without Matt, honestly.
Matt, what do you think of the thermal imaging?
Oh, it's tremendous. I mean, it's one of those technologies, like, you know, with the advent of, you know, the microscope or the telescope, that will allow you to see into realms that you couldn't see into before. And we know that there's not just in this subject, but there's going to be a lot of things we think will be discovered because of thermal imaging, you know, being used and being applied in all sorts of different ways. Okay, you can see a lot more animals at night with thermal imaging. More animals come out at night, but with that, you see into the darkness, into the woods, and, you know, anything that's alive just stands out like a supernova. And when people have used these imagers on expeditions, they are so much more at ease when they have one of these, and they can see what's moving around them in the woods. Then once they use them once, they don't want to go out in the woods at night again without it.
Well, I've got to ask you, Matt, if you found one, what would you do?
Well, basically what you mean by if you found one.
Well, let's say you're out there on one of your expeditions. Thermal imaging shows that there's a creature out there. I mean, you're going to capture it. I know you're not going to shoot it, but are you?
That's happened many times. We've come close. Well, you could say we've found one.
Well,
we've gotten close.
What happens?
People have seen them. All you can do in those situations, people, well, first of all, they get on the radio and let us know that they can see one. What we've tried to do is just get units, move units toward them that can actually record. Because very often, you know, the units will have them where they're kind of hands-free and you can view through them and you can't record them. And it's kind of an elaborate system hooked up to a video recording unit, which has to be, it's in a backpack and you know, the camera's on a helmet. We've tried to move units toward them. But, yeah, what we would do is we would try to film it while the thing is still there.